All right, there we go. I'll dance in just a second. Y'all killed it before I could. Oh, no. Dana was back there going, it's, and all I know was like, that's more, just more. And I'm like, what do I need to do more of? More dancing. There are a few moments, there are a few moments in the Bible that I particularly like to close my eyes and place myself within. One is where the disciples are trying to heal someone, and while Jesus is on the mount. Remember that? Transfiguration. Jesus on the mountain, and they can't do it. And then Jesus comes down, and they need help. I feel that in my soul a lot, of wanting to right what is broken in this world, looking to the mountain of God, wanting for Jesus to come and do what I can't. I also feel this one quite a bit. And it's the walking up the mountain that gets me. They meet Jesus there. He's there. This Jesus whom they thought died for good. You got to keep that in mind. As readers of the Bible, sometimes we get ahead of ourselves, and we say, we know, because we know what's happening. We've read it all before. We've heard the stories. We've colored half of them in Bible class. So, naturally, the stories can kind of become cartoons in our head. Of these things that we know happened, but the way we, we'll cut to a scene and there's Jesus with his disciples, but they had to walk up that mountain. And the whole time thinking, he's alive. We're hard on Thomas. We're mean, flat out mean to Thomas, because he was at the grocery store the first time Jesus showed up. We don't know that for sure, but if you read the early church fathers, they think he's at the grocery store. And then he showed up, and they said, Thomas, guess what? Jesus is alive again. And he said, unless I see it, I'm not going to. And we say, doubter! You doubt. How dare you doubt, Thomas? How dare you doubt that no one in all of creation has ever just left the grave? And we're sitting here telling you someone has, and you doubt? You, my good fellow, shall have a nickname for the rest of eternity. It's not going to be a creative nickname, but you are doubting Thomas. DT for short. Of course he doubted. You would have too. Everyone was confused by the fact that this guy they had followed for 3 years had conquered the grave. They were confused. And they doubted. It even says so here. It says, now the 11 disciples. This is the first time they've been called the 11 in all of Matthew. But they've lost one. The 11 went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped, but they doubted. Now, the word some isn't in any it's in every single English translation, and it's not in the Greek. It just says, but they doubted. Now, because we've put the word some in there, and it just kind of makes sense for us. They worshipped, but some doubted. As if to say, there were some worshiping and then there were some doubting. Because, you know, how could you worship and also doubt at the same time? But this isn't an either or thing, doubt and worship. Because what Jesus is about to do, Jesus is about to send them to the world. And this word doubt here does not mean not believe. There's a word for that. They didn't use that word. It really, and I think N.T. Wright if you haven't read the N.T. Wright translation of the New Testament, the Kingdom New Testament, get your hands on one. It's a fantastic, fantastic translation of the New Testament. I think he gets it right where he says, but some hesitated. Because we're not quite sure. Now, the question here, then, is we're not quite sure of what. What is it, what was it, that the disciples are not quite sure of? This word occurs only once. The word here, the word that is used doubted, for doubted here, occurs only one other time in all of the New Testament, and it occurs earlier in Matthew. And it occurs in Matthew chapter 14. It says, set it up. Jesus, they were out on a boat, and Jesus comes sauntering on the water. I feel like walking is too pedestrian of a word to use for on the water, so I say sauntering. He meanders out onto the water. Jesus walked just on the water, just walking. And Peter says, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now, what's interesting to me here is when Jesus says, why did you doubt? He's not saying, why did you think I couldn't do it? Why did you think? Peter never thought Jesus was going to sink, did he? Peter never thought Jesus was going to fail. Actually, when Peter started to doubt and started to fail, when he saw the winds and the waves, when he saw his surroundings that threatened him, he cried out to the one who he knew could save him. Peter's doubt was never in Jesus. Peter's doubt is what is in what he could do in the name of Jesus. He hesitated in what he could accomplish with Jesus there by him. It was a hesitancy a lack of faith, but it's a lack of faith in trusting what Jesus sees in us, sees us to be capable of. Peter walked out on that water, and Peter had several instances with water. The second time, he just jumped straight in. I don't know if you remember that. Jesus was on the shore. He says, it's the Lord. And so John says, it's the Lord. So Peter, it says, threw on his cloak and jumped in the water, which is backward. Jumped in the water, swam to Jesus. Didn't decide, hey, can we try the walking thing again? Peter believed in Jesus. Peter worshiped Jesus and hesitated. And in both instances, I really connect with Peter. In both instances, where whether it's walking on the water, doing something fantastic that Jesus says I can do, but I just don't know if he's right about me. I'll tell you, I really believe in God. And I don't think it's often a really believe statement, right? You believe that Jesus is alive, or you don't. It's not a dimmer. It's an on-off switch. There's not some spectrum of like, is the grave empty? The answer is yes or no. And I get you may be in that place in your life where some days you're all yes and some days you're all no. Some days you. Or I don't know, but have you ever had one of those light switches get stuck in the middle and then none of them work? But I have my days where I don't think what Jesus says about me is right. I have my days where I don't believe that what God has called me to, I don't believe I'm capable of. I have my days of hesitation. My days of not being sure. And that when Jesus sends me into all the world, asked us to make disciples. I have my days where I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I'm good at it. But you know, like deep down, you know, Jesus wouldn't send you if he didn't think you could do it. Jesus wouldn't call you to the water if he didn't think you could walk. And it's absolutely natural to hesitate, to not be sure of yourself. Because here, right before they are sent, the disciples are caught in this place of worship and hesitation. Of praise, and as the translators say, doubt. But Jesus is alive. They're looking at him. I think it's the disciples don't trust. It's the disciples doubt. And if that's the case, I'm right there with them. Standing on the mountain and in one breath praising God, and in another not sure if I can pull off what he's calling me to. I'm guessing you've been there too. But here's the gospel. The gospel, the good news, is that the kingdom of God has shown up. The kingdom of God has shown up into a world that desperately needed the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has shown up because the king rose from the grave and now sits on the throne. The kingdom of God has shown up and has its residence with it. The kingdom of God has shown up and we are called to the mountain to worship and maybe hesitate. But we are also called to leave that mountain and trust God enough to know that what God calls me to, I can accomplish. When God calls me to the water, I can walk. When God calls me to the nations, I can go. And I can make disciples. What I hear from people is enough. The word enough. I'm so sorry if the word enough has worked its way into your vocabulary about yourself. Are you good enough? Do you know enough? Have you done enough? Do I believe enough? Have faith? Do I have enough faith? God doesn't care about your enough. God cares about you. God believes in you. God sent us into the world. God is sending us into the world. The command still holds. Go and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that I have commanded you. The command still holds. And the command holds because God believes we can do it. So I want you, before we get into the sending next week, I want you to spend some time in your worship and doubt. And know that the Savior you're worshiping can overcome the doubt of the worshiper. The God you are praising can overcome your hesitation to move forward. I know you feel at times like you're not enough. But the solution to that, or the remedy to that is not to figure out that you are enough. But to figure out that enough isn't in God's category. That's not a category of God. Your kids don't have to be enough anything for you to love them, do they? One, unless they're really bad. No, they don't have to be enough anything. They just are. When they were babies, they were so worthless. You couldn't do anything with them. That's why dads, at the first chance they get, will throw their kids high in the air. Like, finally I can do something with this thing. I can toss it about. That's the first chance I get. You take it home from the hospital. Well, can I throw it? No, not yet. We shan't throw it. Well, you love them just right where they are, just right where they sit. They have never had to be enough. They've never had to get it fully right. They've never had to be fully perfect before you can do something with them, before you can love them. And as you stand there in front of the resurrected King, you may have your hesitations. But Jesus believes you can do it. God thinks you're worthy of being sent. God believes you're capable of spreading the kingdom. You may not, and I get it. But I'm so thankful to have a God who believes in me, who loves me enough to send me. Let's pray.